Hello everyone. Welcome back to a new episode on the podcast. Today I'm joined with Jason, and me and Jason are going to be speaking about Doctor Who. Jason's going to be talking a little bit about what he does as well, with Doctor Who magazine. So that's going to be really interesting to hear about that. And talk about the new series, the 60th as well, what we thought of that. So everything Doctor Who today. So Jason, I always feel like whenever I have a guest and I introduce them, I already introduced them before I've asked. So, if you have anything to add about yourself, please do.
All right, well, first of all, thanks, Mason. Thanks for inviting me on. I am Jason Quinn. I'm the editor of Doctor Who magazine. It's great to be here. There's nothing better than chatting about Doctor Who. And I love your podcasts as well. Love all the I follow you on Instagram, and it's always very, very entertaining. And you've got a great wardrobe of outfits as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
By the time this is out, I should have my next outfit actually. So
Oh.
I can actually talk about that with you today, which is
Yeah.
r really interesting. So the new outfit I've got is the Toy Maker. I have,
No.
yeah, and it's the one you know where he's got many costumes,
He has.
but the one that I'm having is the one where he, when he's in the toy maker shop,
Yeah.
that one,
When
that's
we
the,
first see him. Yeah.
the one we first see him, and yeah, because I think that's my favourite one actually.
It is a great one. Yeah, it's a you've got the apron and everything.
Yeah, I've got the apron.
Wow.
I haven't got all the items at the moment, because it's being like custom made for me. And it's the same person who made the Eighth Doctor costume that I have,
Yeah.
and it's very expensive, of course, as you can imagine.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is an expensive hobby. Isn't it? And you've got so many great outfits. So yeah, I'll be looking forward to seeing that one.
It's a good
Have you got a load for the because we've seen sort of snippets of Shooty's outfits coming up in the forthcoming season. Have you got your eye on any of those?
I do. I like to wait with the 15th Doctor because I like to wait
Yeah.
when the episodes air because I feel like well just before the episodes air, so I've got them because
Yes.
with the 15th Doctor, the one he wore in the Christmas special, I actually got that. I asked for that for Christmas and I got it on Christmas Day, so I was able to
Oh.
do things with it on the day, and I got the two costumes I have for the 15th Doctor at the moment. Are the one that we see him in most of the majority of the Christmas special episode,
The nether coat.
and the top as well and the
Yeah.
necklace,
Yeah.
and also the other one is I was hoping we'd see more of it. I was like because
Checked.
the one with the orange top he's wearing.
Yeah.
I think we will see more of it. I don't think they'll just put it that there that we won't see it again. I reckon it'll pop up again.
No, I'm sure he will. I mean, I love that orange top as well. I got one and I was too rough putting it on. I tore a great big hole in it, so I'm having to stitch that up again. But it's a great, I love that outfit. His outfits are incredible.
They are, and I think it really suits him as a person, I
Yeah.
think, as well, because I remember I watched Sex Education and he always had load of outfits on there as well, so it's different for Doctor Who because it's not normally like that for a Doctor to have
It is.
lots of costumes.
Yeah, I'll tell you something as well, as editor of the magazine, it makes our life a lot easier, for covers and cover shots, because I mean, David was fantastic, a wonderful doctor, brilliant doctor, and all the preceding ones as well, fantastic. But when you've got the same person in the same outfit time and time again, it becomes hard to make each cover look different. Whereas now that already we've got a great choice already, and we've barely seen him.
Yeah, I think a different costume per episode, isn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm sure we will go back and we will see some of the old favorites again, I'm sure. You
Yeah.
know, we've not seen the last, like we haven't seen the last of the orange top and the
Yeah, I think so. And one that I am looking at getting, I've been wanting to get it for a while because it's, you know, we saw it's what probably one of my favorite scenes of the Christmas special. I like, you know, when he was in his kilt.
Oh yeah.
I liked the one where he's wearing his kilt, the yellow top
Yeah.
and the leather jacket.
Yes.
I like that one.
That is fantastic. Are you going to get a kilt?
Yeah, I will get one, I think. I think the orange one, the yellow top is quite hard to find because not many tops are like that. They're not like because it's an odd one, isn't it? Because the top is like halfway down him, like from the
Yeah.
chest down. But I do have the leather jacket. I do have that. So I asked for that for Christmas as well. So I got that because I went into Fenwick earlier in the year last year, and
Yeah.
I spotted this jacket, and it kind of gives the vibes from the Ninth Doctor as well as Shooty.
Yeah.
And I had one a while back, but it wasn't actually mine. I borrowed it from someone, so I wanted
Right.
my own one. And then knowing that, I think he won't. That's not the only outfit he'll wear leather jacket with. I think he'll wear it with other
Oh,
costumes.
totally.
So yeah,
Yeah.
there's so many to choose from.
I know. And yeah, it's exciting. It's always great to see those outfits. And I love some of the ones we've seen glimpses of. You know, the 60s suit looks great.
Oh yeah, I
The
like that one.
that one looks fantastic. Yeah, there's and of course, okay, the Regency period one might be I couldn't really see myself wearing that to go down to the shops, but
Yeah.
it's still a great outfit.
It's funny the whole story how, because of course prior to the episode or after it is loaded radio interviews he was on. Like explaining why has he got one? Why is he not wearing a lot of clothes? Why is he just wearing a shirt?
Yeah.
And I mean, he said that David was there first. That's
Oh,
simple
yes.
enough.
Yes.
I did actually do. It was easy for me because I had the 40th Doctor outfit anyway. So that was the first 15th Doctor outfit I did.
Yes. Yeah.
The easiest one, really.
Well, yeah, that one is a fairly easy one, but
Yeah,
they all look great.
they do. They do. I think the 1961, the one with the Beatles. I think that's
Yes.
going to be a really good episode, I think.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. And I'm a bit of a Beatles fan as well, so it's going to be great to see them on it.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because I think a lot will happen in that episode, and I'm just it's just really exciting, isn't it, for the new series?
It is. It's so exciting and so exciting. You know, it's great. I really enjoy looking at all the different fan theories and as to what's to happen, you know, what's going to happen and you know, ooh, what could it be? What is going to happen here? What's you know, the Beatles, what are they going to be up to? What's you know, and how are they going to top the toy maker? Yeah, so it's so fascinating. I mean, May still seems a long way off, but we're getting there. We're getting closer and closer all the time.
Yeah, it's always so close. Like, it's every day it's getting closer. to his
Yeah.
classic.
I feel a bit, it's a bit like when you're a little kid and you're waiting for Christmas to come and, sort of Halloween comes and then you're like, okay, yeah, we're nearly there now. We've got, so yeah, we're kind of in the coming up to Halloween period now. We've still got a way to go, but I think excitement's growing all the time. And in that month before, I would say in April, that, we're going to see Doctor Who everywhere. It's going to be sort of blanket coverage everywhere. It's going to be so exciting.
I rather enjoy like Doctor Who magazine when Doctor Who's actually on. I like Doctor Who magazine when it's not on as well.
Well,
Of course.
yeah.
But I think it's even more exciting because I remember like flashing back to Jodie's last episode,
Yeah.
with like I think it was like the 100th anniversary of the BBC,
Yes.
and you had this big poster in it. I like when you have the big posters in it. Like you had this big poster in it, and yeah, you had a few posters in the last one, like this one, like which was the most recent
Oh,
one,
yes.
the time of recording. And but this one I actually quite like it because I think I like that you've got all the whole TARDIS on it.
Yeah, it was, that was a lot of fun to do, to bring up, and loads of people didn't believe we would do it, that we track, we'd get every issue and actually bring them up to Cardiff and scatter them around the TARDIS. We were very lucky that the BBC and Bad Wolf agreed to it. Although we were pushed for time to get it done in time, because we had to find a day when they were filming on it. It's not like you can cart 600 magazines in there, throw them around the TARDIS, and say, yeah, we'll only be 5 minutes. It took a fair while just getting them in there. So yeah, and that TARDIS set is incredible.
As
It's
it's pretty big, isn't it?
massive. Yeah. It's so big. In fact, walking around it and you go up all those little, what do you call them? The gangways or the the sort of passageways or things that lead all around and to the console. And I was going up them, we were putting all the magazines up there. You actually get lost. You actually do get lost in the TARDIS because I'd be trying to find my way back to the main console and the jukebox, and I'd take a wrong turn and end up really high up above it or down below it. And thinking, how do I get there? Which way did I turn? It's like a maze. Even though you can see everything, you still take wrong turns. So, yeah, it's an amazing piece of design.
Was that the first? So when you was there, was that the first time you saw it like in person?
I'd seen it once before. I'd been up once before, just when I first became editor of the magazine. They invited me up and took me on set to have a look around there and that. But it was my first time properly running around it and getting to really fully enjoy it. The other time I went there, we did, we had a look around, had a good explore of Unit Tower as well, and poked around the Sundays apartment too, which was another great set. And so apart from it's so real, like Ruby's house, Ruby's flat. It's so real. You actually felt, I felt a bit like I shouldn't be here. I feel like an intruder. I've just, the door's open and I've just walked into someone's flat. If she comes back, she's going to call the police because, you actually feel the temptation to open the drawers and have a look and say, oh, what have they got in here? And, the set dressers and the design, they're so on the ball with it that you know every little detail is there. You know, there's all the little ornaments in in Cherry's bedroom and all the stuff in the kitchen and everything. There's so much to look at and pore over. And it was the same in Unit Tower, in the unit controller. What I found fascinating was, you've got all the desks that the different unit operatives sit at and things. But they even go down having little framed family photos and things. They've got notebooks and on the desks, but they've even got doodles on them or little printouts and things. And these are things that the viewers aren't going to see, but the actors will and the people making it. And you might just get a glimpse of it passing in camera. But the attention to detail there is astonishing.
It sounds so amazing because it's really interesting once you see the behind the scenes and like you go there. I remember seeing Rose's house or the new noble family's house in the 60th Street. And that was on the set, and you wouldn't think so. It looks like someone on the street.
It does, doesn't it?
Because it. I know they filmed on a street that looks like that house, so they must have just used the outside of it when they were there filming, and then they must have used the inside in the Bad Wolf studios.
But it's so well put together, and it really does look so real.
Yes, it's so crazy to think about it. Like 20 years ago, we wouldn't be able to do this probably.
I know, it is because years ago, God, it must be about 8 years ago or so, I used to edit Doctor Who Adventures, the younger
I love
time.
them, yeah.
And I used to do that, and we went up to it wasn't at Bad Wolf then, it was across the lock at Roath Lock, and went there, and it was Peter Capaldi was the doctor then, and his TARDIS, and that was incredible. And I thought, wow, it's so big and it's so good, but it's tiny compared to Shooty's TARDIS. It's not quite as bigger on the inside as it is now.
Yeah, it's crazy how big it is. And when we all saw it for the like on telly, when we saw it, I think we had all the same reaction that David Tennant had, when he was saying, "Look how," like his reaction just said it all, really.
It did, didn't it? It
Yeah.
really is. Wow. And you know what I love about it, apart from the huge space and the huge, I really love that it's sort of at this, while it's so much bigger than anything that's gone before, it really does pay tribute to the early doctors and the classic doctor, right back to William Hartnell, in that it's clear, it's clean, and it's almost austere and very, very unmessy. And, whereas some of the other ones could be cluttered or they could be dark. And this is really clean and white and white, but at the same time, it's also welcoming. It's not like a hospital. It's got a really good vibe to it.
It has, and it's crazy how well they've done that, with the round things that they're all on the wall, and how it can change color as well, like
They
that,
do.
yeah.
It's actually got a disco setting for it. It can be like you're in it, which the lights in there are incredible. So and I guess depending on the mood, it'll switch. But I love the sort of clean white sort of whiteness of it.
It's if I was there, I'll just like you, like you have done as well. I'll just run around it, see how far you can go, how long is it going to take, time yourself.
Yeah, you would. I mean, the trouble is, I get vertigo, and you go up some of those gangplank things, or those bits. You actually, if you look down, you start feeling a bit dizzy, and it kind of, it's a bit like when you're crossing a bridge, and it's sort, you can feel it wobbling slightly. Not that it's unsafe; it's perfectly safe, but. It does. You kind of feel a bit, oh God, I'm not gonna look down. I'm gonna hold on to the side. So yeah, my running wasn't as impressive as David Tennant's.
Yeah.
I was more pulling myself to safety.
Yeah, he did it pretty fast, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
And God, yeah. I mean, he's got to be fit,
I
because
couldn't
it's
believe it.
massive.
I actually couldn't believe it. I think he's in his 50s now, David Tennant. And
Yeah.
I couldn't actually believe it because he doesn't look that. It's not old 50, but he don't look 50. He looks like still when he was Doctor as the 10th Doctor.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's not changed a great. I mean, I guess I did recently. Well, over the summer, I was re-watching again for, right from Rose, right from Rose, from the first, from when it came back in 2005, right up to now, and started then. And I mean, in those early in David's first sort of, first season, he does look incredibly young. In those ones, it's sort of, it's quite astonishing. But when I don't think, unless you've been, you've just watched them, you just think, oh yeah, he's not changed a bit.
Oh.
I mean, he still looks great. Yeah.
It does, and
Yeah.
it's really amazing. Like last year and the year before, I went to Wales and I went to Cardiff,
Yeah.
and I went round the Doctor Who locations.
Ah.
And I brought my 11th Doctor suit and the 10th Doctor suit, because they were the prior back then the locations I went to visit.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this at the time, but well, last year I did meet David Tennant.
Yeah.
And when I was in Wales, I did in the episode The Girl in the Fireplace,
Right.
because that's one of my favourite episodes. The
That's a
outdoor
great one.
scene, where he's leaning over. That rock where Madame de Pompadour is outside in the garden bit in that scene.
Yeah.
So I do that too. I lean exactly like he is in the picture, and then I do it side by side. So when I've met him, I show him it. I show him, look, you were there
Oh.
in, I think, 2005, 2006, and that's now. Nothing changed, has it?
No.
And he laughed. And he laughed. I was quite fortunate because when you go to these conventions, you don't get long, especially with a person like David Tennant, who's
I know,
quite.
yeah.
And I got about 2.5 minutes, which is long, pretty longish.
Yeah.
And I took my time, explaining, just saying how good he is as a doctor. Because some people ask sometimes actors questions that they can't say.
Oh,
And
yeah, of course.
I kind of feel there's no point asking a question that they can't answer you. So I'm not going to be like, well, I weren't going to be like, can you tell me everything that happens in the 60th? It's like, oh,
Yeah.
he's got to say that. So I said, tell me what is the 60th going to be exciting, unexpected? And he can answer that. He can tell me that because
Course.
he's not going to tell
It's
me.
not a spoiler.
No,
Yeah.
and he was like, it's going to be unexpected, I think. There's things that you're going to know, things that you're not going to know.
It really was unexpected, wasn't it? When we go back to those specials, and And I think they were perfectly well spaced out as well. You know, the progression of the story from Starbeast through, you know, through Wild Blue Yonder and then onto the Giggle. I think the storytelling was so well paced. So, you know, it was perfect. But also, yeah, it was unexpected, and it did. And I'm glad they kind of managed to avoid many leaks, you know, coming out and hitting the media beforehand. You know, there was speculation and there were guesses that, you know, and I mean, I suppose most people thought, well, yeah, shoot, we kind of knew Shooty was going to be in the Giggle, but I don't think many knew he was going to be in for so much of it.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think people thought that the 14th was going to get such a happy ending. You know, which I kind of, you know, and again, yeah, controversial perhaps, but I think it was great because, you know, we went through the heartbreak with him before, with his, you know, his, you know, and it was, you know, it was heartbreaking, and to see him go, you know, he's not ready, and he's not. Yeah. And you know, there was part of me, you know, in the lead up to this, thinking, yeah, loving this, but I don't want to have this awful goodbye thing. And also thinking, and that's going to make it really hard for Shooty coming in, you know, because then everyone's going to be all upset over David. Are they going to give him a fair chance in this? But it was so good because Shooty got a chance to shine, but to shine alongside David, you know, and there was none of that. No, we want David back because he was, you know, still got him as well, kind of. I think it was very clever.
It was, and it was very, like, it was very surprising. I don't think any of us would have expected that to happen, where he was just going to be there. And I loved all the episodes. There's, of course, there's going to be lots of controversial things in them, but
yeah,
that's what Doctor Who is about. I liked that Russell included the Timeless Child kind of talking
so
about that,
I.
Because although that's another controversial thing in Doctor Who, but it's important not to forget the work the last showrunner's done, just because of something that maybe a lot of people didn't like. Because that's life. Not everyone's going to like everything.
It is. And you know what? And we can say, oh, a lot of people didn't like it. But you know what? A lot of people did as well. So, and I mean, I wouldn't want to, you know, do a poll and gather every single person that's watched both and say, oh yeah, you know, 53% loved it and 47 hated it or whatever. I don't get the very fact that some people loved it and that, you know, and that again, that is the great thing about Doctor Who, is that it changes. And yeah, you'll go through times where there's bits that you're not so thrilled about, but you know what, that's not going to be forever. It's going to change. And you know, and also the one thing is with, you know, people that, those that don't like it or that do like it, or that, the weird thing about it is, unlike any other program or any other program that I can think of, long running kind of thing, once you decide you don't like something, generally you stop watching. But with Doctor Who, they don't. And you don't, you know, because you can't help yourself. You know, I find it, there've been the odd episode, you know, there's been some, now again, that I haven't liked very much, but I haven't gone off and thought, right, well, I'm never watching that again, because I know by its nature, well, you know what, next episode might be incredible and might be Fantastic. I've also been really happy as well to be proven wrong at times, in that, sometimes when watching, and I don't know why, sometimes when watching, I've not liked an episode. I feel, oh, that was lousy, or I didn't like that. That didn't work. And then I've watched it again, maybe a few years later. I might have had to for something, and I've thought, oh, I'm going to give this another go and see if, and I found myself liking it, and certainly liking it a lot more than I did initially, and thinking, oh, wow, I wonder why I hated that so much when it came out, because I actually really like it now. And I've kind of found that I don't think there've been any that I've rewatched later, once time's gone by, and thought, oh my God, I still really hate this one. But then I'm always quite happy to prove myself wrong over things. I'm not one of those that will never admit to making a mistake. I make loads of them, and I think, yeah, no, I must have just been in a bad mood that day. And I also, and I don't know, I also feel guilty when I don't like it, or when, when an episode comes on that I don't like. And I've always felt this. It's got nothing to do with being the editor of the magazine. I've always felt it, like since I was a kid, and that I felt a bit like I'm cheating on my girlfriend or something if I don't like it, or I've fallen out with my mum or my dad, or I'm sulking with my family over something. It because it is almost like it's played such a long part in my life that it's almost like a family friend, or because it's always been there. And the doctor always is sort of a comforting companion that you've got in, it's great to put it on if you're feeling low, or you're feeling upset. The doctor's always good company.
Yes, and because you work for Doctor Who magazine and you're the editor, does that mean you get to meet the doctors or anything that you're putting on the magazine?
That we're put, I haven't actually met Shooter yet, although I was next to him at the there was a screening for the Church on Ruby Road before, and I was just across the aisle from it. Did get to say hello, but I was just across the aisle from him in the cinema watching it. And he was he well him and Millie, and I kept telling myself I mustn't stare. I'm here to watch the, I'm here to watch the show, but I kept feeling my eyes as if drawn by magnets to look over. What are they doing? Are they enjoying it? And they get, no, I mustn't stare. They get this all the time, and it must be really annoying. But try not to stare at Shooty Gatwell and Millie Gibson if they're in the room. It's really difficult not to look at them. It just is. So, and then I do get to talk, you get to talk with some of the actors on there for different features in the magazine, and some of the creators and designers, and Russell, who's been incredible, and he's so helpful at making the magazine and making sure we get all the stuff we need. He's so helpful, and he's got such an interest in the magazine. I mean, he's bought it since the beginning, so it really helps to have a fan not only of the show running the show, but also a fan of the magazine running the show, because it gives us loads of information.
Yeah, I think that's really good that he supports it and that because he writes his little thing each time
Yeah.
in there as well.
He does. And, he's always, and he's never ever late with his copy either. When he's got to get his piece in, he always does it. He'll ask, when do you need this for? And it'll be in a week early, generally, to give, So yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that because I've spoken to a few people from Doctor Who, as you might have seen, like
Yeah.
before, and some of them worked during his last era as showrunner, and they said that they always praise Russell up, how lovely he is and how supporting he is
Yeah.
to them, and I think it's great how much of a big impact he is within Doctor Who, not just being the showrunner, but just being a
Oh,
fan.
definitely. He's got like the dream role and he's perfect for it. And also, it's infectious how enthusiastic he is about it. And so, and that's what I found when I went up to Bad Wolf and, you meet all the people working behind the scenes and behind the thing. I think everyone feels so shush. Everyone feels so lucky to be working on this show, and that enthusiasm, everyone has it. There's not one of them that is all, can't wait for this to be over. This is a drag. Oh no. They all love their jobs and they love what they're doing, and that. A, they're very lucky, but also Russell's put together such a talented bunch of people as well. So, and yeah, living your best life working on that show.
Yeah, it's I think anyone's dream, isn't it?
Is, yeah.
Whatever role you're in, if it's as in the actors department or even the magazine department,
Yeah.
it's great.
It is. I mean, for whatever, you just feel sort of touched by it. We get to see sort of things beforehand. Not necessarily not the episodes particularly. I did get to see Church on Ruby Road before it was broadcast, and I did get to see Starbeast as well, which was great. I'm going to put you out in a minute. I'm going to. I'm right, you're off. I did get to see those those before broadcast, and we did get to see scripts a few months in advance. You get to see scripts at various stages so that we could plan the magazine and plan, because obviously our features and things have to be written ready to go out on broadcast. But of course, the scripts are heavily redacted. There's huge bits cut out. So even I, when I saw the giggle and saw that there, I was still totally taken by surprise by the bi-generation. And it was, I did not expect that because all those scenes have been cut out of the script we've been given to look at. So yeah, there were certain things kept very quiet.
If I can remember, I think because, like you say, you do share some little, I think, in the magazine about it. And I think when I read that, when the, but before the it was the one because you had one go out before the 60 even started, and then you had one ready for the last anniversary special, the Giggle. And I think the little line that you put in there, I think it was when David Tennant and Catherine Tate were talking after the toy maker in the toy maker shop, so I think that was the scene that you was allowed to share a little
Yeah.
snippet of.
Yes, we were. You're given little bits that won't, You know, so, or you might be able to, you can show a preview so we could have like, but it would give no real spoilers because away. So the one that was most difficult to do of that was Wild Blue Yonder, because they really wanted to keep it quiet. Mainly because once you've described the plot to it, that sort of it. There's not a, it was such a simple story, but once that was known, there wasn't much else to say about it, except watch it and enjoy the acting and the character development of it. So it was very difficult we to do a preview of that, because we had 2 pages to cover, and basically without, 2 pages to fill while saying absolutely nothing. We didn't want people to know it was really just it was just David and Catherine, and that was it. We wanted that, to think, okay, there are other people and there are other things. We didn't want them to know it was basically a two-hander. It was just the two of them. Which to a great extent it was.
It was surprising, that episode, I think.
It was. And I loved it. I did think it, again, that's one where, it some people were like, well, oh, but it didn't feel like a special. But for me it did, because it really focused on those two. And it really gave a good, I think it was great to really focus on those two actors, because with the first one, everyone's going to be upstaged by the Meep, really. It was such a crazy monster. And then with the giggle was just sheer chaos and madness and what and spectacle. And of course the bi-generation. So I think that middle episode really, really, it paid tribute to the two actors, and it was a great piece of acting from them as well.
It was because everyone was so excited for it that they were thinking it's all kept secret because, oh, look, you got Matt Smith's gonna be in it, Peter Capaldi's gonna be in it, and it wasn't. And as much as that would have been great, I just don't think the story would have been as good, because you want to focus on them too. You're not gonna focus on them too because everyone's gonna be more concerned about Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi,
That's it.
in it. And I liked it because it was very mysterious, like the first part of the episode that got really mean mysterious, I think, was when you had David Tennant twice. Like, you had two of the doctors, and I was thinking, hang on a minute, it was just in there, how's he back? And that
And
creeped me out.
it was very creepy. It was very creepy. That whole who do you trust thing. It was very eerie. My son as well thought it was one of the scariest episodes he'd seen. And and it was very, it also stayed with you afterwards. It gave you a lot to think about. So yeah, I love that. And you know what? We've had so many multi-doctor stories before. Does it really have to be that every time there's an anniversary or a special event? Is that going to be the special event? It almost becomes lazy. I mean, I'm not saying, and they weren't lazy, the ones before. They were great and really good, but to opt for that again might have been, although I'm sure if they'd chosen to, it would have been great. But I think this was a really good, and you know what? We still did have our multi-doctor because we had David Tennant and Shuti Gatwa together for a good part of it. And if we'd had in the episode before, we'd had Peter Capaldi and Matt Smith in there, that would have lessened the power of Shuti and David together. that came around.
And we had Matt and David together for the 50th as anyway, so
Yeah, and it was perfect.
yeah, and that was good. And I do feel like because of Bi Generation, that's opened the doors to it for it easier. It was going to be easier for doctors to return if they want. They're not
Yeah.
going to have to not break all these rules from seeing
Yeah.
themselves and that, because like the 50th, they couldn't remember. Like the past doctors couldn't remember the present doctor, so now that's easier. If they want to opt spin-off wise,
Yeah.
they can, or if they want it in the future, because I feel like Matt and Shooty in an episode together, if Matt, because
It would be
it would be
fantastic.
great, it would be great if
Yeah.
that did happen. But I think we don't need that yet. I think just have let Shooty have his series and we'll
Oh,
see where it
definitely.
goes, see where it's
Yeah,
open.
because it would, but I mean the thing that I mean again, the beauty of Doctor Who is anything is possible and it can all happen. It can all be so incredible. But also with it, you know, the whole bi-generation thing, it opens up the doors for classic doctors as well, for Peter Davison and Colin Baker and Sylvester. You know, to make appearances and to come in, whether they will or not, they probably won't. But it's nice that that possibility is there without us thinking, hang on, who? What? No, how did that happen? They don't look the same. And now, yeah, they don't have to. It's
Doctors can get old,
yeah.
because most of the older ones do look different to when they were the doctor.
Yeah.
But there's so many options now for what they want to do, I
Oh,
feel.
definitely. Yeah. I mean, and that again, that's another great thing about Doctor Who is that anything can happen and often does. Yeah. So we all have fun predicting what's going to happen and what could, and the great th that's the great thing about it is that actually, yeah, it could be anything.
Good. And I think in with like this, we've only seen one episode of Shooty, and there's so many questions to be answered already from episode
Yes.
one, like who is Mrs. Flood,
I know.
and
Yes. And it's great. The fan theories on who she is are amazing, aren't they? They're so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, we know she's got to be something. She can't just be a nosy neighbor who happened to have seen a TARDIS before, but who? Ooh, is she good? Is she bad? Is she in between? Yeah, it's yeah,
I
she's someone we know.
could be. I want it to be someone good. Though, if I had to choose,
Yeah.
I want it to be some good, because we always get like the last few seasons, we've got the surprise person that we think is good and is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Like I guess Sacha Dhawan's master, because he was like a good person, I guess, like helping, and before he turned to be a he turned, but before Sacha's master turned to be the master. So stuff like that, it's really surprising, but now we
Yeah, I
know.
loved his master as well. He was great.
I did, and I if it, if that I reckon they would change the master if they brought him back, but I would like something, because the master's in the Toy Maker's Tooth,
Yeah.
and the Toy Maker's Tooth I think dropped, but it would be nice to see how that happened, like if they had a little mini episode or something where
It would, wouldn't it?
how that all happened. Well, it would be nice, because I'd love to
Yeah.
see the more the toy maker in the future.
Oh, me too. Yeah, he was great. And also I love it when we see sort of some of these old villains coming back. There are some of the old classic villains there I'd love to see make a return at some stage. Not now, not straight away, because I always love seeing new ones as well. New, you know, But it's great to suddenly get, oh my God, they did that in 1966. Or they did. I mean, again, there's such a rich history of the show that it's great when they go back. And it's also great when they, look forward and they continue adding to this huge kind of, well, yeah, universe.
Yeah, it's always nice when you go back, you go forward in time.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be an episode in the TARDIS, I think, just in the TARDIS. I think they need to do
Oh.
that. I think they should do that because how big it is, they have all those rooms,
I know.
and you explore it, I think. But you could do it in a similar concept when the journey to the centre of TARDIS with the 11th Doctor.
That was a great one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it would be nice to explore the TARDIS because it's that big.
I know.
You've got to have a chance of it.
Yeah, and I always like that, even back in the in the old classic days, the ones that were TARDIS or where you get to see different rooms in there, not just the different console room, but when you'd see different parts of it that we never see usually. Yeah, that's always fascinating to have a look.
If you was in the TARDIS, because I saw you were like controlling it when you did that when you shared the clip
Oh
of you.
yeah.
I thought that was a really good clip, when you're going really fast and all Doctor Who magazines everywhere.
Yes.
Then at the
Yeah.
end you're like, where to next?
Yeah.
So where did you travel to, Jason?
Where did we get? Yeah. I mean, there's where I would like to have traveled to. Unfortunately, the TARDIS was malfunctioning at that moment, and we ended up in we just ended up by the on the waterfront. The inner bar, but
Is there anywhere you would like to travel though? If you had the choice,
oh, if you
anywhere, where'd you go?
oh God, if you had the choice, yeah, it would have to be, would it be, would I go to another planet or would I go back in time or would I go forward in time? I think going forward in time would probably really freak me out.
It
It
would.
would. It
Unexpected.
would, it would, it would, you'd be afraid of seeing something really horrible or coming across, I don't want to know when the world ends, or a bit of, or so I'd probably, if I was stuck on Earth, I'd probably go back in time to, let's see, when would I go? Actually, it'd be kind of, there's part of me that would quite like to go back, like sort of to prehistoric times. That would be really cool, just to, because I was in South Africa in the summer and I loved seeing elephants in the wild and these things. But imagine seeing dinosaurs stomping about. So I think I would probably go for that. It would either be that or go and visit myself in my childhood. But I kind of think dinosaurs would probably be more interesting.
Yeah,
It
I think
would.
it would be interesting to see having to see them, and yeah, I think
Yeah, and also the plant life and think, what does it smell like here? What's it feel like? What's the weather like? What's it it would be that would be fascinating. Or then, yeah, another planet would be pretty cool. If I was going to go, if I was going to pick any of the Doctor Who planets, oh, I think I would go sort of again for a real classic one, and I'd go and sort of have a look at the Zabi wandering around back in William Hartnell's that's I'd go to the Web Planet and have a mooch around there. I wouldn't want to go to Skaro because I don't think I'd get out.
be petrified.
I don't think I'd get away, but I might have a chance with the Zabi, just about. So yeah, what about you? Where would you go?
I would go to when England win the World Cup. When they next win it, because
Oh, yeah.
because they haven't won it for ages, and
Yeah. That would be good, but yeah, you would have to you might have to. Will you just will you just sort of take several trips every 4 years? You see, right? Let's see how they do this time.
yeah, that'd be interesting. But as well as apart from that, I would go back. I would actually go into the future to see how are we now in AI land. Like, so is everything with AIs,
Oh.
or is we have we got flying cars, or what's the future
Yeah.
like?
Flying cars would be cool. Flying cars would be really, yeah, that would be really, really cool. I mean, it's quite funny when I just think, you know, sometimes I look at stuff like when I think back to being a kid and I think, God, my childhood's like a period drama now. It's like, you know, and back then we would think of like mobile phones as being the height of Star Trek futuristic technology. You know, because no one had them. I remember someone, one of the kids in our class was quite, they had a rich family and they had a car phone. That was about as big as a ghetto blaster, or like bigger than a couple of bricks that would fit in his car. And we thought, wow, that's so futuristic. And, you know, so it is funny how technology and everything has just changed in 20 years or 30 years.
Yeah, because there's this thing that's been released in America, and what it is, it's like these goggles that you put on, and very expensive. I think
Yeah.
like 3 grand, but you put them on, and it's like virtual reality. Well, it is virtual reality, but it's a bit different. So you can actually see your surroundings, because normally when you put a virtual reality headset on, you get just black, isn't it? That
Yeah.
the rest is black. But this isn't. So say you're on your phone and you want to watch a film, like on Netflix or something. You have this
Yeah.
little monitor thing, and it's all in front of you. So like the film. So say you're watching, I don't know, Star Wars, and it's
Yeah.
all going on in front of your eyes, and people can walk past you. So it's actually really cool, like how things are getting now, where you can have things like that, like Ready Player One, which was a film. A while ago,
Yeah.
where that was
Yeah.
virtual reality going into the virtual reality, so it'd be nice for that to happen in the future,
Yeah.
but yeah,
I'm
like you
sure
say.
it will. I'm sure it will. What about the whole AI thing? How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I think the problem with having these eye things and things that you put on, it just hurts your eyes and it aches them.
Yes.
I find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, you know, that there is part of me, oh God, the more advanced we get. It always seems like we're taking jobs away from people as well, sort of so that machines can do them. And how are people going to earn a living? In the end, I hate to be that sort of person who's against progress and against technology, but you sometimes think, oh, is it necessarily better? I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard because like people want to be independent in life, I think, and
Yeah.
having this there, which is already starting and already now, having these things progressing like this is not helping anyone
I
really
know.
in a way, because as much as we would like that, we'd like things to be done for us, everyone would.
Oh.
But if that was the case all the time, we wouldn't learn anything.
No, and we wouldn't learn it. And what would we do? Sort of, yeah, we'd just sit there watching TV. Okay, that's all right.
Like you could be like you say about jobs. Like you couldn't. You could have an AI or a robot doing it for you, so you don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Yeah, you could, and then yeah, they could get blamed for something that, yeah, that was a lousy cover. I say, yeah, it was the
They
AI.
put that whole script on, weren't
Yeah, I know.
they?
Well, I mean, yeah, that is a fear, you know, that the script writers and people could be replaced by AI. And you think, yeah, is it going to have any soul? It's not. It's not going to have the real heart and emotion of a human being doing this. But so you have to hope that it doesn't replace everything, or we're just becoming Cybermen.
It is, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah,
Imagine that it
we're just becoming Cybermen without the cool armor.
Yeah, like there's a game I played a while back, and it's called Detroit Becomes Human. That's basically what we're talking about. Like you're these cyborgs or things,
Yeah.
and I think that's what they want to make. I think that's what people want to do. Who are taking charge of this AI sort of things,
Yeah.
which I mean, I just have to wait and see. So that's why I say to see in the future, go to a time, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years ago from now, see where we are.
Yeah.
And hopefully, it's all right.
Yeah. I
But
think it would freak me out too much. Although, I mean, and so if I was going to go to the future, I'd probably go to a time where after I'd think I'd be reasonable, you know, I could reasonably expect to be dead, so that whatever happened there wouldn't, I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't have to think, oh God, this is going to happen in a few years.
it's really interesting because the Weeping Angels,
Yeah.
would you, I know it's they are scary, but would you be frightened if you were that back in time to say you were really like you had nothing to lose, so say you got zapped in time, so
Yeah.
somewhere there it's really nice there, and like you can build a new life there,
Yeah.
because with Weeping Angels, you don't die. You may die really slowly. I think that's what they do. So
Yeah.
sometimes I feel like if I haven't got, it'd be sad if I left my family behind. But say we're at an age where it's all right. Maybe that they have their own life and you don't have to
Yeah.
worry about them as much. That it may be easier, not because you can't go back anyway if you are there. It's impossible, but to maybe deal with that slowly is all right.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny because even though we know now that they don't kill you, that you're zap, but they're still terrifying. The you know, maybe it's just having a stone statue sort of snarling at you as it pops out of nowhere, you know, as it. But yeah, actually, to be sent back in time somewhere. I mean, it would all depend where you ended up, wouldn't it? It'd be horrible if you ended up somewhere really grim. You were, oh great, thanks. Yeah, if you were back in 1920s America, or sort of 19, you know, for sort of, they've got great outfits then. They've got you know, it cool cars sort of just starting. That'd be all right, yeah, if you go to the jazz age, or if it was an interesting period of time, it would be really great. You wouldn't want to end up sent back in time, you know, you the Weeping Angels send you back to the time of the Great Plague or something, where you're just gonna get sick and die.
Oh,
That'd be horrible.
that would be horrible. It'd be nice to go somewhere, Venice, when it like,
That would be great. Yeah. That would be really cool.
yeah,
Yes.
you don't want to be get sent, like you say, to the plague or stuff like
No.
that, which.
All of that would be horrible. Or find yourself on a battlefield in World War One. That wouldn't be great. But yeah, there would be, it would all depend. You just have to hope that they weren't that those weeping angels weren't particularly nasty and that they sent you somewhere nice.
They are scary. I wonder maybe if in the future, because they change monster designs all the time in Doctor Who, don't they? Maybe they can make the Weeping Angel talk.
I wonder if they will. I mean, again, anything's possible. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if there would be one that would. There'd be a really sort of poetic chatterbox, one who can't, who won't shut up.
Definitely, definitely. So Jason, with Doctor Who magazine, like how long have you been been doing them, with it?
I came in as the editor there just, was it 6 issues ago? Yeah, it was back in the summer. It was around June, July, I started there. So not long. I'm still the new one. I'm still the, you know, even though it's 6 months have gone now, it's, you know, it's still. So, and also I came in right, you know, at that lucky period, just when it's all gearing up for the specials.
Yeah, a good time. Good time
Yeah, it
to
was a great time to come in, a great time to start. It was so good, you know, right in this new golden age of Doctor Who.
come.
Yeah.
It is, and you're I imagine you're really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's. Again, it is a dream, you know, all your day is sort of it's talking about Doctor Who, it's reading about Doctor Who, it's writing about Doctor Who, it's so yeah, it couldn't be better. Yeah, it's really interesting and it is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
You know.
I imagine.
I'd love to say, oh, it's such hard work, and it can be long hours, especially like as we come up to press day, you know, when we have to go to print and things. So we can be working through the night on it, and that, but it's still always exciting, and it's always, and then the relief once we've got everything off and off to the printer and signed off. Then that relief, we think, ah, yes, I can be a bit lazy tomorrow. It's.
Last few things, Jason,
Yes.
before we finish. I was curious because you said it was a long day. When you did the put all the 600 issues out there,
Yeah.
on in the TARDIS. How long did that? I imagine it took a while. 600 issues is a lot of magazines.
It is, yeah.
How long did that take for you to plot them all around the TARDIS?
Well, it took quite a while. I mean, first of all, we had to go through our archive of magazines, and there were a few missing. So Mike, our designer, had to source the other magazines. He was like, "No, we've got to get them. We have to get them." And luckily, a friend of his had the missing ones, so we got them, and then we had to drive them up from Tunbridge Wells up to Cardiff. So, and it was for an early mo we had a morning shoot there, a morning slot on the TARDIS. So we drove up the night before and stayed in a hotel, and then wheeling them out on a big trolley. And going through all the backstage bits, getting it around there, it probably took, once we got all the boxes unloaded and then decided, okay, we need to have certain issues we want you to be able to see, you know, like number one, or like, you know, if you look carefully, you'll see certain key issues. So, and then it probably took us about the best part of a couple of hours dressing the set and getting it exactly as we wanted it. So you could see all of those key issues. Yeah, it did take, it took a lot longer clearing it up.
Yeah, I imagine just have to not forgetting any because it's so big.
I know, yeah. And there were certain ones, put discreetly, sort of, hidden around the place, and thinking, oh God, we mustn't forget that one. We mustn't forget this. Otherwise, yeah, they'll be showing up in future episodes in the background.
Yeah, and then like shooties in the next episode, and you say, "Oh,
Yeah,
I've
oh.
got a magazine about David Tennant here or someone."
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's very good. Like even if you're just looking at the cover, you can just spot loads of ones if you closely look at them. So
It's
very
it is
nice.
fun to have a good look at it and see if you can spot your favorite issue or one the first one you bought or the first one you. It is fun to have a look around. I mean, chances are that first one you bought might be around the back somewhere and not on view, because they are all there, but you can't necessarily see all of them.
Yeah, of course. Like you
Yeah.
got, because you can't see the ones up the stairs, maybe.
That's true.
Like up
Yeah.
there. Like just looking now, I can see a Tom Baker one there, right at the console.
Yeah.
And then a David, another Tom Baker one, a Matt Smith one. So yeah, you've got so many of them. A
Yes.
Cyberman one. But it's great. Like it's great how well done it is done. Like it must have took a
Oh,
lot of
thank you.
patience, I think.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun doing it. It was great fun doing it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it there because I
Well,
think
thank you.
it's great. Before we finish, Jason, I just want to tell you a little bit about, I guess, me,
Yes.
about like my podcast, how I started it, just if you're curious about
Yeah,
that.
I am. Yes.
So I started doing this my podcast about in 2020 when it was the lockdown.
Oh, so you actually started it in lockdown,
Yeah, I
right?
started it in lockdown, and but prior to that, I never heard of a podcast before.
Yeah.
So it was the first time, and like I wasn't the only one doing one. I had a friend who started one, but I don't think they progressed as maybe as further as mine. And at the time, I thought it's just gonna be a lockdown thing, really. At that period of time, because my podcast, I talk about all different things, not just Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That's more recent, I guess. More so, what the first thing was about having Doctor Who guest on. So each Christmas, like Doctor Who have Christmas
Yeah.
special. Each Christmas, I wanted to have a Doctor Who guest on. So that all
Right.
started with Simon Fisher-Becker, who played Dorian in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
We'll start with him, and then we had a Christmas. Another one, I think, Colin Spool, who played someone in the Spider-Man episode. N not Spider-Man, what am I saying? The Cyberman
Right.
episode.
Yeah.
And then he was in with Tom, with Colin Baker, in
Yeah.
the classic Who. And then it was the 60th. Then I thought, hang on a minute, let's try and get as many as I can to come on for the
Yes.
60th. So I had one for at least each. Prior to the specials, because I didn't want to release them on the specials, because I feel like no
Yeah.
one would watch because Doctor Who was on. So I
Yeah,
did
of
it
course. Yeah.
around November time, and then we had a Christmas one, and then we had a New Year one, with Sophie Eldred. So and then that's the Doctor Who element. But
Yeah.
originally, so podcast Crohn's and Autism Awareness Advocate called that because I have Crohn's, which have you heard of Crohn's before?
I have heard about it, but I'm not quite sure what it is. What is it
Yeah,
exactly?
it's basically it's a disease that
Yeah.
no one knows why people get it. So I don't know why I have it. As much as I love to know why,
Yeah.
like you don't. So what it is? It stands for IBD. So that stands for inflammatory bowel disease, and you can't catch it. Like say I'm ill, I won't
Yeah.
breathe. You can't catch it that way. You can't really catch it anyway, really. You're just given it. It's like a gift, but it's not a
Wow.
good gift.
Yeah.
So basically, it affects everyone differently who has Crohn's. And in the same bracket, IBD stands for as well as colitis, so ulcerative colitis as well. And I have something called Patchy Pan, so I have a little bit of both. So with Crohn's, it affects you from your mouth all the way down to your bottom area. So for me, I was diagnosed in 2017, and then I thought, because of lockdown, and maybe because you can feel really isolated, because I take certain medication for my Crohn's, so I'm not in pain, because it's very painful sometimes. So you have to be really careful. And why I say it affects everyone differently. So some people are on, can have stomas, and some people can't. And maybe it maybe go make you go to the toilet a lot, and it might not for me. So, like, some people may be all right with having chips, but some people may not cope
Oh,
with
so you've got to be
vegetables.
really careful with what you're eating.
And which is why, because of the lockdown, it's not just the lockdown, getting ill in general, have to be really careful and vary. So around this time of recording in the winter, that time period of the year is very hard, like for me, because everyone's ill, and I'm in a compromise. So with the medication I take, is what like cancer patients would take for them, what they would take. So as you can understand, it's quite tough at times. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to create the podcast. In addition to that, autism, because I have autism as well, so I like to raise awareness for that as well. So they were the two main things. I'll talk to myself for a little while at the start, and then I'd get bored. I'd think to myself, people could get bored here just hearing my voice all the time. And it took, I think, about three episodes I've done that for, and those were short ones. And then I had a first guest on, and then ever since then I've had guests, try to keep it different. So I might have one episode about a certain episode, like the episode for this might have been something about a certain story, someone has Crohn's or something. And Sacha Dhawan actually has Crohn's, so that's one of the,
Really?
yeah, so he's an ambassador for Crohn's and Colitis UK, which is an organization associated with people that have Crohn's and colitis.
Because there are, I mean, it is because you when you asked, do you know, and I had heard of it, and I heard, and there's a magician, there's one
Dynamo.
Dynamo, he's the one with it.
Yeah, he did a documentary, and Amy Downden, who does Strictly Come Dancing, has it as well. And also, which I did actually interview this person last year, who plays Chan Lang, Chan Lee in the Doctor Who the movie with Paul McGann. He has Crohn's. And when I asked him, I was actually surprised, because I didn't think he would come on, but he was more curious to talk about his Crohn's journey than being on Doctor Who. But he did want to, he talked about Doctor Who too, but it's just, it's really awesome. Like, because I've changed the logo lots of times. So at the moment in the logo, it will have a ribbon, which represents Crohn's, but not the same ribbon. So it has a ribbon for autism as well. And then at the top, it has mental health. Because sometimes I think mental health is important. It can, with anything, with Doctor Who, with hobbies. So speaking of hobbies, I've got hobbies on there as well, in small writing. So you've got mental health and hobbies around the side. So it kind of talks about that as well. So I may have, because I find with autism, hobbies is quite relevant to that. So I'll talk about Doctor Who. I did a series about Doctor Who and autism, so it would raise awareness of, because everyone knows what Doctor Who is, so it would raise awareness of something else that maybe people don't know as much about. And yeah, so that's how I kind of started it. I thought it was going to be a lockdown thing, and then I
It's
thought
not.
it's not. Yeah, it's not. So I continued it. And then yeah, I had a little break though. I did have a little break after Christmas. Like to now, so I wanted to have a little break just so I don't have to overburn myself out about doing episodes all the time. So
I think you've got to just, I mean, yeah, that you're in that wonderful position. You can do it when you want to.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely,
And
definitely.
then it will be people will be, oh yeah, there is another one coming. Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and for the guests, especially last year, the guests I had on last year were so cool. I didn't think I would have the certain people I had on,
Yeah.
like the likes of Paul McGann or
Oh, yes, I did see your Paul McGann. Yeah.
And like because I asked him to say I've never had a Doctor Who a Doctor on before,
Yeah.
and this was at a convention I met him. I did, and I said to him, "Paul, I've heard you're so nice. I hear so many good things about you,
Yeah.
like with everyone. Because everyone praises him a lot, and then I said I've written a letter. I try write when I go to conventions. I try to get write actors the letter of being on Doctor Who to see if they can come on. And Paul answered. I sent me an email within 30 minutes after I met him.
Oh.
And we were on a while. We've spoke a long time. And it was funny, because he couldn't hear me. I could hear him, but he couldn't hear me. And I was thinking, what's gonna happen? Oh, I don't want to reschedule. We might not get this chance again. So his son, he had to wake his son up to help him.
Yeah.
So it was funny. So yeah, last year was a really good year because I had a guest I didn't think I'd have on.
Yeah.
And like the likes of like Paul, like Debbie Chazen, who played an actor in the Doctor Who Christmas special, I think The Voyage of the Damned.
Right, yes.
And she was lovely. Because she asked me, have I ever interviewed Russell T Davies on my podcast? Because she saw my podcast and how many people I had on it, and she
Yeah.
and I said, my response was no, I haven't had him on, but I
Yeah.
would like to one day because I would. I'm
Oh.
more than happy to have Russell if he
Oh,
wanted to,
yeah.
of course.
Oh, well, and he's really entertaining and he's fun. Yeah.
The only issue I would have, because when getting people on, I only get them on because they want to and they give me their contact details.
Yeah.
So the only way that would ever be possible if I ever met Russell or if someone I had on provided details to contact. But yeah, I would love to have him on, but I like whoever I have on, if they're like famous or not. I think
Yes.
it's important not just to have people on because they're popular, but it's just to have people on because they're nice.
Yeah, well, definitely. And it's great to come on as well. I'm sure all of them have enjoyed it and had a blast. It's like, I can't believe we've been you I've been nattering on for an hour and a half. Now you said, oh, can we manage an hour? And it's like I was wondering why I was beginning to get hungry.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it happens all the time, Jason, where I say an hour, but
Yeah.
because we're too so excited about what we're talking about.
I know.
I
Yeah.
think I think
Well,
but but I think last question before we go and have our dinner,
yeah.
is there one, because you were really curious about monsters and Doctor Who, is there
Yeah.
one monster that you would like to come back that hasn't come back yet for a while?
Yeah, it was funny. I almost came out with it earlier when we were talking. I would love to see the Yeti.
Oh yeah.
I would love to see the Yeti, those big shambling kind of there with the great intelligence and I'd love to see them back because yeah, I don't think they've been back since the Five Doctors, have they?
No, I haven't seen the Yeti for ages.
I'm pretty sure they haven't been back since then, and then they haven't been back since 1960 something. So I would love to see them. Yes, they are my definite.
I love that.
Yeah, how about you?
For me, I would actually like the Slovene. I would like the Slovene
Yes.
because I haven't seen the Slovene in ages. I want them to have a different design though. I do like the design before, but just a bit, I guess, more this era, because I did like
Yeah.
them. Found them funny. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'd put the Slovene. But the Yeti, I'd love to see the Yeti as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, we want them both.
Yeah.
We want them both.
If you ever want something like for Doctor Who magazine, like from a fans like me,
Yes.
I'm more than happy to have something or to share anything on it.
Yeah.
If you want, Jason.
Yeah, well, let me have a think about it, and you have a think about it as well. And if you think, yeah, I
Yeah.
wouldn't mind doing a piece on that. Actually, yeah, I think we could do a piece on the podcast and everything. Let's have a think over the next few days.
Yeah, we'll have a conversation.
Yeah.
Like I can have a think and you can have a think and we can decide what we want. If it can be about the podcast around having different people on, because I'm sure other people would like to listen and just talk about Doctor Who. I could do
Yeah.
a little written piece about
Yes.
it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Let's. I think that could be great.
Yeah, let's have a think.
Okay.
Definitely.
Brilliant.
But thank you, Jason, for
Well,
covering
thank
up.
you. And keep in
Yeah,
touch.
definitely. We'll keep in touch. I might send you a few sneak peeks of any like costumes I get.
Yes, do. Please
Definitely,
do.
definitely.
They're always a joy.
Yes.
Okay.
But hope you enjoyed the new series, though.
Yeah, you too.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Jason. Have a
Thanks a
nice
lot.
evening. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
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 Bye.